Morning. I'm Vandana Shah, and I'm the Executive Director of the North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund. The North Carolina Health and Wellness Trust Fund is one of three organizations in North Carolina that was created to receive the Master Settlement Agreement funds. And we actually get 25% of North Carolina's share of the Master Settlement Agreement funds. And in May of 2002, the second year of our existence, we started funding the state's tobacco prevention and control program with a special emphasis on youth. And one of the areas where we really wanted sort of our local grantees as well as our statewide efforts to focus was on the tobacco-free school policies in the state. I sort of wanted to sort of define this term 100% tobacco-free school because that's, from what I understand, a fairly unique North Carolina term because the CDC sort of uses the term tobacco-free school environment. In North Carolina, when we started funding schools and community groups to work in schools, we sort of saw that a lot of the school districts, you know, we have 115 school districts in North Carolina, a lot of the school districts had policies that sort of fell short of the 100% standard, like in Wake County, where our capital is Raleigh, they actually had a policy which allowed smoking in like school buses and on certain school venues. So sort of the policy was maybe 97-98%. So when we started working in our districts, we wanted to really sort of emphasize the gold standard, you know, really making sure that there was no tobacco use anytime, anywhere, at any place on school property, included school-sponsored events. So that's sort of what we wanted to emphasize through our campaign statewide as well as through the work of our local grantees. We also wanted to, you know, I just want to make the point that as you've seen the data, comprehensive tobacco-free school policies result in reductions in tobacco use. In fact, in our last youth tobacco survey, we saw that in school districts that had a tobacco-free school policy for at least 3 years, we saw at least a 40% lower smoking rate in those school districts. So we really wanted to sort of focus on making that gold standard the standard for each and every school district in North Carolina. So as I said, when we first started funding this effort in 2002, there were 14 districts in North Carolina that were 100% tobacco free. So we actually had a pretty uphill battle. We had 91 school districts that we wanted to work in. And we first sort of started out, you know, with this effort focusing on, you know, working with our local grantees and sort of really trying to work at the local level. You know, if you sort of look at tobacco-free school advocacy movements across the state, there's really two ways in which states have gone about it. 17 states, you know, at our last count, have statewide laws which sort of mandate tobacco-free school policies in the schools. In North Carolina, even before the Health and Wellness Trust Fund started doing this work, we had sort of traditionally relied on local advocacy efforts. I think because it's a tobacco state, there was really no political will to sort of mandate a tobacco-free law across the state. So it's always sort of been at the local level working with the school districts that we've tried to sort of, you know, make sure the school board and all of the school administrators at the local level bought into the policy. So I think we continued this tradition once we came into the picture in 2002 and continued to work at the local level on, you know, moving this policy forward. And I think it was really last year when we were approximately, I guess, at we had 75% of the school districts through our efforts at the local level. So we were around maybe 75 school districts over the course of the 4 years of just working at the local level had actually adopted the policy. And then the question came up of sort of, we really decided that, you know, we had had a lot of success with our tobacco prevention campaigns, and we came up with this idea of doing media, of actually having statewide television to promote tobacco-free schools. And I sort of want to get, you know, talk a little bit about, you know, why did we want to use media, you know, to promote tobacco-free schools policy? Because I think, you know, when we sort of went into the school districts where we'd had all of those early successes, maybe like over 50 districts, those were the districts that were sort of ready for the change. So we really knew that we'd sort of gotten the low-hanging fruit. And we wanted to sort of really, you know, get into like the eastern part of North Carolina, which is really the heart of tobacco country, and sort of really try to create some momentum in those school districts where we weren't really making headway. The second point I wanted to make was, you know, we really, conducted some surveys and some research and thought that it would be a good idea to sort of use media to influence local leaders. And then the last issue, which, you know, was sort of was really interesting, sort of anecdotal evidence as well as survey evidence, is a lot of parents in the urban areas, when they were asked the question, sort of just assumed that their child's school was 100% tobacco free, which was not the case. I mean, a lot of urban areas in North Carolina, even 2 years ago, like Winston-Salem or Greensboro, a lot of them were not 100% tobacco free. So, or even Wake County, I mean, where Raleigh and was not 100% tobacco free. So I think we really wanted to create a campaign that sort of, got people thinking that, is my child's school 100% tobacco free? And we wanted them to sort of go ask their school administrator, is our school 100% tobacco free? Because in the urban areas, there was sort of a widespread belief that my school is 100% tobacco free. And on the reverse side, in the rural areas in North Carolina, there was the belief that, well, you cannot have a school that's tobacco-free. So it was sort of addressing both of these beliefs that we wanted to sort of create a campaign that would challenge and make people think and sort of raise the question in their minds as to, you know, is tobacco-free schools the norm, or is that something I can expect in my child's school? I guess, you know, I sort of want to, you know, going back to the title of our presentation, we sort of wanted to, what did we fear? You know, I want to emphasize that we... The MSA dollars that the Health and Wellness Trust Fund receives actually comes to us through the General Assembly. So in the first 2 years of our existence, in 2001 and 2002, and then even as late as 2004, we actually lost money. As you know, all of you know in your states, we've actually lost significant funds to the general revenue fund. We've actually lost approximately $200 million in the first 2 or 3 years of our existence. And since we've sort of launched a lot of comprehensive statewide programs on tobacco use, obesity, health disparities, we have actually managed to safeguard our money based on the strength of our outcomes. And I think we were really concerned about, you know, launching such a statewide campaign on promoting policy change in all schools, because we really feared loss of funding, you know, from the legislators if they weren't in support of such a campaign. So I think we really wanted to make sure that we were sort of, stepping out in the right direction. The other thing is we explored the country, we really did not find any precedent of creating a tobacco-free school campaign, you know, using media in any other state. So we really had nothing to sort of rely on. And, you know, we were sort of also sort of concerned about local leaders really pushing back, sort of when we were going to air these ads in like Eastern North Carolina or certain tobacco growing counties. We were sort of concerned about the backlash, not just from the state leaders, but also from the local leaders who would sort of, we are chaired by the state's lieutenant governor. And, you know, she would get calls from local school boards about why we were putting pressure on them to adopt such a policy. So there were sort of all of these concerns we had. And so we decided that before we were to sort of design these television ads, we wanted to conduct commission some formative research using our evaluation team at UNC Chapel Hill to make sure that, you know, our campaign, since it was going to be sort of one of the first in the country, sort of, you know, went out on the right note. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Shelley Summerlin Long, who's co-presenting with me to sort of describe the formative campaign.
Hi, I'm Shelley, and as Madhana said, I'm from University of North Carolina. So we worked on the formative research for development of this campaign. And the way we did that was, first, we conducted a literature review looking at what had been done already, what was known about tobacco-free schools and factors that promoted them, and what had other tobacco-related media campaigns done. And as Vandana said, this was the first statewide mass media campaign promoting tobacco-free school policy. So we were just trying to get an initial list of themes that we thought could be used for this type of campaign. And then we tested them. We did interviews. This was in the spring of 2005. And we talked with 45 experts person we talked to, we asked them who else we should speak to. So our final sample included North Carolina as well as five other states and districts with and without policies, and legislators in both parties and chambers. And we had a pretty good response rate, 94% for experts and 54% for the stakeholders and legislators. So the survey tool asked people about their experiences with tobacco-free schools and included asking them which issues or themes they thought would be most salient for a media campaign, and also asked them to categorize the list of themes we had started with as whether they thought they would be likely or not likely to work for this type of campaign. We also asked them about the best type of people to use in an ad and any other recommendations they had. And once we had the 45 interviews, we did a context analysis of the data and ranking of the themes to come up with recommendations. So for our recommendations, we had four recommended themes. The first was a very positive message about tobacco-free schools becoming the norm in North Carolina. So conveying the idea that tobacco-free schools is now the accepted norm, kind of creating a positive peer pressure so districts that had not yet adopted would feel that they were a little out of step with the rest of the state. And this was most frequently chosen as the best message. The second theme was highlighting experiences of successful tobacco-free school districts. So having adults or youth from districts that had passed tobacco-free policies talk about how they were working. And respondents really thought this was important to dispel myths about the policy. They said the critics of tobacco-free school policies said things like, you know, if you pass this policy, all your teachers who smoke are going to quit, or you're not going to get people to come to football games if you're not going to let them smoke. So they had not found that to be the case in their own districts, but they thought, well, it's important to have this kind of campaign highlighting this so people in other districts who are worried about this can see that these fears did not come to pass in their districts. And also, they said it's important to highlight a diversity of districts, so don't just show, you know, our little college town of Chapel Hill that maybe someone in a rural tobacco-producing district would not relate to, so kind of look at rural and urban areas. The third one was looking at the importance of adult role modeling, so basically just saying, you know, teachers, staff, parents, all the adults, you're serving as role models for youth, and the behavior that they observe needs to be consistent with what they're being taught in class or at home. And finally, a personal story from youth that would relate the policy to health consequences, so kind of putting a face on the policy. You know, one example given was a band member who had asthma, who was exposed to smoke at football games and had health issues, and so kind of helping people understand the link to the policy and health consequences. And as far as the people to appear in ads, youth were by far the top choice, which was probably why the personal story was such a popular theme. Also, school administrators, parents, teachers, basically respondents said you need to get people who have a personal connection to this issue. Don't have, you know, hi, I'm the top NASCAR driver in North Carolina, I support tobacco-free schools. You know, they didn't really want to hear from someone who had no connection to the issue, just someone, folks from the actual school districts that could talk about it. And everyone also said this campaign needs to be connected to a website. There's only so much information you could get across in a 30-second ad. So you need to be able to refer people to a website that they can go learn more about the issue, learn more about what's going on in their individual school district, and how they can take action to promote adoption of the policy or compliance with the policy. These were the additional themes that were tested, that not that people thought they weren't good themes to use in some tobacco campaigns, but were not necessarily as on target with a tobacco-free school campaign. Health effects of secondhand smoke, and you can see these here. And finally, before I turn it back over to Vandana for talking about the actual creation of the campaign, I want to talk about a few limitations. One, that just acknowledging that a snowball technique can lead to a selected sample, and that we didn't get to speak with tobacco-free school experts in all states, so it's certainly possible that we missed some themes or things that were going on, and that we had a limited evaluation of the campaign, so can't say particularly feedback on each theme beyond the focus groups that we did, which Vandana is now going to get into the campaign creation.
Thank you, Shelley. So our campaign that we designed sort of emphasized two themes. One was TFS becoming the norm in North Carolina. That theme seemed to really resonate, you know, when we've done the focus groups. And then the other thing we wanted to sort of emphasize was the experience of successful districts, that there wasn't backlash, you know, from parents or from the football coach or from, you know, students once a school went tobacco free. We actually featured, you know, a lot of different people, and we directed the campaign, I want to sort of emphasize this, to parents to sort of create that sense of ownership that I want to make my child's school tobacco free, as well as at policymakers. The one thing I want to emphasize which really worked was we also pointed out the impact of tobacco free school policy on smoking rates in our campaign, as well as sort of made a point about the parental support. We use these two taglines. You know, the question that a lot of people raised was, is your child school tobacco free? And that was sort of an important point in our campaign, where you were directed to a website where you could sort of go into each school district and sort of figure out the status of the policy. So if it wasn't 100% tobacco free, you could sort of see in detail what the policy currently was. And so, you know, if anybody who's interested in the issue, we have a lot of compliance tools as well on our website. And we focus group these ads. I'm going to try and show you one of the ads. That didn't work. So it's on our website. So anybody who's interested, both the ads is on our website. If you go to our healthwellnc.com, I thought it was going to work. This is just a quick look at our website, you know, and there's a lot of different resources for compliance, policy adoptions, all the kinds of resources like our previous presenter pointed out, petition drives. You can pretty much download anything you want related to tobacco-free schools from this website. Well, what was the outcome of this campaign? In the 8 months after campaign launch, an additional 9 school districts adopted the policy, and these are some of the tougher districts. In a survey that was conducted in spring of this year, 17% of North Carolina adults reported awareness of the campaign. For a fairly low budget campaign, this was pretty high awareness. And then I want to share the most successful outcome was that we actually this year passed a statewide law requiring all school districts in North Carolina to go smoke free, and that's going to take effect in the next school year. So this was a huge success in North Carolina, sort of creating the momentum through our work at the local level as well as this media campaign. We sort of managed to, you know, really have this big victory, which was something we sort of really did not even expect and weren't even striving for, considering the political reality of the state. So that was really exciting. You know, the conclusions, well, a tobacco state can utilize mass media to promote tobacco-free school policy without political fallout. That was, you know, we've got a lot of compliments from this for this campaign. You know, I've heard this from other states and from within our state. So that has been really gratifying. And then the other thing I want to sort of emphasize is that other states may want to use the strategy, but I sort of want to emphasize the word comprehensive. Because I think that, you know, media by itself would not work. We have a full-time tobacco-free schools director, as well as all of our grantees work with the local school district. So we know that media can sort of supplement your efforts at the local level in sort of making tobacco-free schools sort of an accepted policy. So thank you.